You know, when I was just looking at the passage that was today, I was just reminded of something. You know, I was reminded of, you know, there are moments in our life that we tend to ask ourselves, who am I? Right? We tend to ask ourselves, who am I? You know, and we try to search for answers. And I was just reading the article by Eric Erickson, who is a person who I think he's well known in the psychological field. And he says that people have identity crisis. There are moments in our life, he says, there are certain stages in our life that we go through a period where we ask ourselves, who am I? You know, we ask ourselves, what am I doing in this world? What is the purpose of me living in this world? What is the purpose of my life? Even when a young person tend to ask that question, even an elderly person tend to ask that question. So he says, at different stage in our life, we begin to ask this question, who am I? What is my role in this world? What is my role in this planet? And I was just further reading on Erickson's research and also by other researchers. You know, they say when a person knows themselves very well, then they will be much more successful. In other words, if I know myself, my role, if I know who am I, if I know my strength, my limitations, you know, if I know myself very well, the study says that you will be much more of a high achiever. You will know yourself, you will know your limits, you will know your strength, you will know what you can do, and that brings you to be a high achiever. You know, when I was just reading the article, you know, about psychology and certain things, I was telling myself, you know, it applies even to our Christian life, right? Even in our Christian life, you know, many times, many Christians struggle about their relationship with God, about who they are in the sight of God. Dear friends, the passage that is before us, Colossians 3, 1 to 4, Paul is telling us that you have an identity. We are not in an identity crisis. And there are many Christians who go through identity crisis. We know that we are Christians, but we do not know in terms of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that because of Christ, we have a new identity. And if I know who am I in the sight of God, if I know my identity in the sight of God, I begin to live a strong and a genuine Christian life. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. And so today, even as we look at Colossians 3, 1 to 4, you know, we need to really ask ourselves, who am I in terms of my relationship with God? The past few weeks, we have been looking in the book of Colossians. It's a very interesting book because, you know, Paul, in the first two chapters, you know, just to give you a background for Paul, in the first two chapters, he's talking about doctrine. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about, you know, who Christ is, what Christ have done. And he's saying that Christ is all sufficient for us. If you have Christ, we don't need anything. We don't need the extras for our life. Because there was a lot of teachings about what he called Gnosticism was around there. Legalism was around there. And mysticism was around there. And so Paul is saying, you don't need extras. You don't need all these extras. Christ is enough for you. In other words, the first two chapters, you know, Paul is talking about doctrine, about who Christ is. What is salvation? What Christ can do for you? You know, the attributes of God. And so he's trying to talk to us about this. And then, very interestingly, the third and the fourth chapter, Paul is saying about our practical life. You know, whenever you read Paul's writing, it's very interesting. You know, even if you look at the book of Ephesians very carefully, in the book of Ephesians, Paul also, devotes the first three chapters on doctrine. And then he moves into the practical part of it. If you look at the writing in Romans, into the first 11 chapters, it's about doctrine. And then from doctrine becomes the foundation of our Christian life. That leads us into a Christian living. So I was asking myself, what happens if I, you know, if I just know doctrine? And I was just reading certain articles, they say, you know, if you just know doctrine without the practical life, it becomes a Pharisaic kind of Christianity or a stagnant Christianity, right? In other words, you just know doctrine, but doesn't apply to our life. We are not applying it to our life. It becomes a stagnant or it can be a very stinky kind of Christianity. And, you know, furthermore, I was also reading, if a person, in a world that we are living today, there is not much strong emphasis on the doctrine. Right? When I say doctrine, it's about Christ, who Christ is, about salvation, about grace, about sin, you know, about our destiny and all that. That's doctrine. And so if I, you know, today we like to know the application. How do I live a successful Christian life? Five things to do that I can be successful in my Christian life, a victorious Christian life. Or the seven things to do. You know, if you just emphasize on application, then we become a very shallow Christian. That's why Jesus said, you know, about the story of the two builders. One was building on the rock, the other was building on the sand. What happened? Right? The house was destroyed that was built on the sand because it is very shallow. It's only practical, minus the dogmas, the doctrine, the teachings of the Word of God. And very interestingly, when you look at Paul's writing, there is always doctrine and the practical part of it. Doctrine and the practical part of it. And so as Christians, I think, you know, we need to know what is our doctrine, what's our teaching, what's grace, what's sin, what is salvation, what is judgment, what is God, you know, who is God? Theology is important for us because that gives us a foundation for our Christian life. My wife and I, you know, we went to Tyndale because we were specially invited to look at the place, you know, and it was very interesting. You know, we had a very mini tour of Tyndale, and I know some of you have gone to Tyndale. And, you know, the person who brought us is a very nice person, you know. The husband and wife brought us there. They worked there. And so they were just giving us a tour, and I was really fascinated about something in Tyndale. They showed us the new place, the new campus. They showed us the sanctuary or the chapel. It was beautiful. Right? If you want to, you're getting married, let me encourage you, book the place. Beautiful for marriage. Right? Beautiful place. And then, you know, we just marveled at it. And then he brought us to the library, which was just downstairs. And then he told me something. You know, Pastor Vincent and Florence, do you know this is a library? I said, yes. By looking at the books, I know this is a library. And he said, you know, above this library is the chapel. I said, why did you do that? He said, because the scripture have to be the foundation for our worship. If not, it becomes feel-good kind of a worship, right? And so he said, we intentionally made that because we want the word to be the foundation for our worship, for our lifestyle, for our Christian living. And so Paul is also emphasizing on this, that we need to know the teachings of God well. Then when we apply to our Christian life, then life becomes much more interesting. And so a couple of things which I want to share with you in this particular passage, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. And so Paul is, you know, very interesting. He's just, you know, mixing theology, in other words, teachings and practical life together because he's not separating it. Three things he's saying, because of who am I in Christ? And he says, we have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, my friend, let me encourage you. You're not so, you know, you're not just an ordinary person. You have a new identity. You have a new identity. I know in Canada, when you go to anything, they will ask for two identities, right? They need, but in Singapore, just one is fine. Probably they trust you more there. Yeah, they want to have to see two identity before, you know. And so Paul says, you know, we have a new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 1. If you turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul starts by saying, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so Paul is, you know, saying, since you have been raised with Christ. So he's talking about, you know, you have been raised with Christ. And Paul says, you know, you have a new identity. First and foremost, I will just show, you know, just share 4 R's with you. You are resurrected with Christ. You have been raised with Christ. In other words, Paul says, you know, your salvation is not an ordinary thing. You got saved. You know, it is not an ordinary thing. It means that you and I have been raised with Christ. Our old life is gone. And that's why Paul says, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is Christ alone. And so Paul reminds the believers that you are not an ordinary person like anyone who's living outside in this world. You know, he says you have a new identity because you are raised with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he reminds them in Colossians chapter 2, 12 and also in 13 that we have a new life in Christ because we have been raised with Christ. And even in Romans 6, 6, if I read this, it says, you know, our body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And so Paul is saying, you shouldn't be living a life like that. A sinful life, because your sins are gone. You have been dead to your sin, dead to your old self. It's no more. You've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God. And he says, who loved me and he gave himself for me. That's what Paul says, my friend. You know, today, you and I, our lives have been raised with Christ. You know, whether, you know, we are raised with Christ, you know, it's an interesting question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we have that new life? Was there a point in our life we said, Lord, no more my old life. I want to live a new life. I want to be raised with you. I want to experience the salvation. It is not just by saying the sinner's prayer. It is not, you know, sometimes, you know, we just water down the sinner's prayer. But it's more than that, my friend. You know, I'm being raised with Christ. But the power of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is in my life, being with me. And that's what Paul is trying to say. And this is true also, even to us who are Christians. Our resurrection with Christ. And so he says, you know, because of our resurrection with Christ, you know, we have a new role to play. And so he moves to the next one. Not only we are raised with Christ, but we have a new responsibility. The second R is responsibility. He says, set your hearts on things above. Before this, you know, when Paul uses, you know, Paul is using an imperative word here. In other words, it's a command. When a person was raised with Christ, whether you like it or not, this has to be your life. And so you cannot say, you know, Christian life is optional. Pastor, I got saved, you know, many years ago, but I will choose the way I live. Then I think we need to really ask ourselves in terms of our spiritual experience. But Paul says, if I'm raised with Christ, these are the things that God expects in our life. And we need to be found living in this world. Two commands he's using here. You know, it's in a very imperative language. And the first word he says, set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above. You know, in other words, if you look at the Greek word very carefully, he was saying, keep on looking above. Keep on looking, not today alone, tomorrow. Every day, keep on looking above. In other words, everything that I do in this life, I need to be looking above, looking above. Even in my career, I've been looking above. Even whatever I do in terms of my decision, I have to be looking above. That's what Paul is trying to say. And so not only I'm raised with Christ, I have a new responsibility. Can you imagine that God wants us to live a life for him? You know, and then he has given us a new responsibility of living a special life for him, living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, things above. And you know, when I was looking at it and I was trying to understand what Paul is trying to tell us, you know, he's talking about, you know, that we need to be seeking Christ. We need to be seeking Christ. Will Christ be pleased in what I'm doing today, in my decision, in my career? Even in my school, even the things that I choose for my life, you know, will Christ be glorified? Will his name, you know, be magnified by the things that I choose in my life? And that's what Paul is trying to say. You know, seek Christ in everything, in everything. And so Paul is not only reminding, and so, and he also says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, he's just saying, you know, sometimes you say, you know, why is he using all this language? You know, it means, you know, that, you know, God is still in authority. He knows. He's the ruler. Right hand, you know, shows the authority in those days, my friend. And so God should have authority over our lives. We should seek God's authority. We should seek Jesus. We should seek his guidance. We should seek his power over our life. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. And that's our Christian responsibility. And so, in other words, if I'm a Christian, I should always be seeking, Lord, am I doing things which is is this pleasing to you in your sight? Am I seeking your authority for your leadership, for your guidance in this life of mine, in my decision? Am I seeking you? And that's our responsibility, my friend. And Paul, as I told you, it's a command that Paul is using here. And he uses the word, keep on seeking. Every time, in every situation, at every moment of your life, you are seeking Christ and seeking his rule. You are seeking his power in everything that we are deciding in our life. And then, if you look at it, you know, he also says, and Paul is a very interesting character. He says, you know, how do I do that? You know, sometimes we tend to ask, you know, how do I do that? You know, very interestingly, Paul says, by setting your minds. By setting your minds on things above, right? It's all in the mind, right? Have you ever realized when you're in the doctor's office, right? And sometimes they will say, you know, you need to have a very strong, think positive, right? Think positive. It's all in your mind. Sometimes they tend to tell you like that, you know, be strong, right? Tell yourself, you know, yes, everything is under control. And so Paul says, you know, this is one of the way. Start thinking, because what you think leads you to actions, my friend. Right? I think our thinking is important. You know, what we are thinking in our lives, which is important in our life. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes even we are here but not here. Have you realized? Sometimes we come to church but we are not here. Maybe our body is here, right? But our minds are not here. I was just reading a story. I don't know, any of you seen lizards? In Asia, you see lizards. So in this particular class, you know, the teacher was teaching, and then she was saying, do you understand? Is things going in? And the student said, yes, it's going in. So one guy said, yes, it's going in. So the teacher was really, you know, teaching a very in-depth subject. And then she was asking, has it gone in? And that one guy said, no, it has not gone in. And how much has it gone in? It's only 3/4 gone in. Then what is left? And the guy said, the tail is left. In other words, I can see the tail, right? But I think she was teaching something, but he was looking at the lizard. And sometimes it's like that. We are here, but not here. And so Paul says, you know, if you want to start thinking about Christ, start in your mind. Ask yourself, right? You know, because the mind, they say, the mind is the devil's workshop. Right? When you're alone, the devil wants to just conquer your mind, because if he can come into your mind, he can ruin your whole life. Right? Your actions will be affected. Your decisions will be affected. And so Paul, he's saying, seek Christ and set your minds. And so it's here. Because that's the way, you know, Satan will always want to attack us. And even when you look at the temptation of Jesus Christ, he was always trying to tell Jesus, right? If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, he knew very well that Jesus is the Son of God. He was just trying, right, with the mind. And it's important, my friend. I think even in our Christian life, I think we need to be careful. Because that's the place, you know, Satan will always seek to come. And that's why Paul says in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, right? And he goes on, he says, right, let your minds dwell on these things. And so Paul is saying, things, of the good things, the godly things, because that leads us into actions in our life. The first R, right? We have a new identity. So all of you, as I told you, right, some months ago, that all of us are saints. And so today, we have a new identity, right? Not only two pieces of identity, we have another one, much more bigger, right? We are resurrected with Christ. It's no more my old life, right? I have a new life in Christ. I'm resurrected by the power of Christ. No more to my sinful nature, right? I have the Spirit of God in me. I'm resurrected in Christ. I have a new role to play. I have a new responsibility because I'm not affected by these just worldly things. I remember when I was in the army, I was just telling, you know, some of our office staff here, you know, very interestingly, you know, one of the training they will give you, it's called a mental torture kind of a training. They'll ask you to stand and they will scream into your ears. They will talk all the bad words, right? Everything, they'll just scream. And you shouldn't show any emotions. Can you imagine? They will talk about your generations. Both the officers will do that. And you have to be just standing firm. And by saying, you need to respond by saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. One of the reasons of that training is that, you know, nothing should shake you. Because your call is much more higher. Your call is to die, to live for your country, to give yourself for the country. Not ordinary things. Don't major on the minor things. I think that's what they train you. They want your mind to be alert. That even at the expense of anything, I'll give my life for the country. I think that's the way they train you. And so we have a new responsibility, my friend. Satan will always try to take you away from the responsibility. Tell yourself, I belong to Christ. I want to look at Him. I want to look at Him. I want to look at Christ. I want to look at His authority, His leadership, His direction for my life. And let's start doing it through our minds, seeking Him at every moment of our life. And thirdly, if I just move on, and Paul says in verse 3, he says, not only our responsibility, he says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He says that, you know, he uses a word, you know, that I like the word Paul uses, hidden. Have you realized, if you read this word, you know, it says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In other words, we are not only, you know, just raised with Christ, but we have a very strong refuge. That's the third word, refuge with God or with Christ. You know, whenever you go, sometimes we, as a family, we go to Shoppers Drug Mart. You know, sometimes when you look at toothpaste, right? They say double protection. Have you ever seen? Double protection. Protection from cavity and double protection. Nowadays, you know, a lot of things have double protection. Yeah, doubly protected, you know. And so probably Paul was a good marketer. So probably, and he's also using something similar to that. He says, you know, you are doubly protected. Not only you are hidden in Christ, but above that, you know, God is also there. And that's the way Paul is trying to say, you know, you're hidden with Christ in God. Christmas is a time I think we try to wrap things up, right? Right? Whenever you wrap, start thinking, you put a box into a bigger box. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. Not only Christ is protecting me, but God is also around me. We are doubly protected. We are strong. We need not fear because Christ is there and God the Father is also there. And if you look at it, what Jesus was trying to say in John chapter 10, verse 7, you know, no one can take you from me, right? And then in verse 29 of John chapter 10, he also says, my Father is greater and cannot take you from his hand. In other words, you know, yes, Jesus is God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying no. I believe in Trinity. But, you know, the way Paul is saying, you know, you need not be afraid. Not only Christ is around you, but God is around you. You are doubly protected, my friend.
And so we need not fear. We do not fear for anything. We need not fear about challenges, because that's what Paul says. They can take your body, but not your spirit. They can take your body, but not your spirit. And that's what, you know, we tend to read from Paul's writing many a times. Many a times. Many a times, my friend. Are we hidden with Christ in God? Is Christ around us, my friend? Are we hidden in Christ? If you are hidden in Christ, let me tell you, do not be afraid, because the Lord is protecting you, and God the Father is also protecting you. I do not know what's happening in your life. You know, maybe some of us are going through, right? But if you are raised with Christ, and if you're seeking the things of God, do not fear, because you are hidden in God, with Christ, and in God, my friend. You are doubly protected. You are taken care, and that's what Paul is telling the church. Christ is there for you, and He will protect you. He will guide you, and He will give you the strength. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. And lastly, let me say this, the last R that Paul says, you know, very interesting, and he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will appear with Him in glory. Then you will also appear with Him in glory. Can you imagine? We don't belong to this world. Paul is reminding the church that we belong to Christ, right? We will live a life for Christ, and there will be a time, you know, Christ will be revealed, and we will be revealed together with Him. He's actually talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe all of us believe that. Do we believe in the second coming of Christ, NCAC? Yes. Yes. One more time. Yes. Yes. Yes, we believe in the second coming of Christ. And that's what Paul is reminding in the believers here. You know, let me not dwell on that particular, you know, maybe some people's different theology about how. But I believe, you know, that the Lord is coming for sure, and He will come, and we will, you know, be raised with Him. And very interestingly, he says, Paul reminds the church, you know, you don't belong to this world. You don't belong to this world. In Philemon 3:20, we read, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. You're not Canadian citizen. Maybe just, you know, maybe for temporary purposes you are here, but we belong to heaven. But many times have you realized we live as if we belong, this is our world, and this is, you know, where we belong to. Yes, I'm not saying that you shouldn't fulfill the responsibilities, you know, that is expected from you, but we should be living a life, because we are heaven bound people. We're not earth bound, we are heaven bound. And so Paul reminds the church, right? And then Paul writes to the young minister in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, he says, you know, I finished the good fight. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And then he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on the day. Right? Can you imagine? I fought the fight. I finished the race. And I know the Lord will give me. Dear friends, I think that's the confidence that we have. You know, yes, we belong to heaven. We are heaven-bound Christians. And so Paul reminds the church, and Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Who are you today? Today, my friend, you and I, we are resurrected with Christ. We have a new life, altogether new. We are resurrected by Christ, by the power of Christ. What Jesus have done on the cross, He died and He rose from the dead. And because Christ lives, I live, and I can face the tomorrow. And we have a new life in Christ. And we need to be living a life that people will know it's a new life that he or she is living. Where is our responsibility? Where are we looking at? Are we looking at Christ? His leadership, His authority, His direction. How's our mind today?
Do you know that we are hidden in Christ? And then life is worth living because the Lord is coming. Let me, you know, just share with you about this story. It's a story maybe some of you might have heard. How many of you like Egg Smart? There's one in the corner, yes. Sarah likes Egg Smart. Good. John? It doesn't mean I'm giving you a treat. You know? Yeah, I like Egg Smart, you know, and I like Egg Smart. I like the ham and the cheese. You know, I like the eggs and all that. But thank God I don't put on weight. And yeah. It's a story about a, you know, it's about a story. It's a story you don't see in the Bible. It's about a hen and a hawk, or a pig, right? A hen and a pig were having a walk. They're having a walk. Can you imagine a hen and a pig was having a walk, right? And so they were having a nice walk. They were talking about life, you know. It was a wonderful walk. Probably they were walking around Birchmount area. And so they were walking, and they came down the street and came to a church. They were passing by the church, and they saw the church sign. And the church sign said, "Help the needy." Help the needy. And so, you know, they were having a good conversation. The hen was talking and the pig was, you know, talking. And both of them were good friends for a period of time. And then, you know, they saw the church sign. It said, "Help the needy." And so they talked about it. They looked at the church sign for a while and they started talking. You know, what can we do to help this church? Because they need some help, you know. Listen to the story carefully, right? The hen said, you know, "I know how we both of us can help. Maybe we could give them ham and eggs for breakfast. We should give them ham and eggs." You know, the hawk or the pig was horrified when he, you know, or even terrified when he heard that. And he said, "That's okay with you because for you, it's only a contribution. But for me, it's a total commitment." Do you understand? Because the egg hen will just give eggs. But for the pig, it has to give his entire life, right? To make ham. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, when I was listening, reading this story, you know, sometimes, you know, we are like hens, right? We just want to just contribute, lay eggs, and that's all. Don't disturb me. But God wants total commitment. Total commitment, my friend. And I was just reading another story. I was just telling my family in the car. I was reading about, you know, Sir Lenot. And he was a great man in during those days. And the King of France heard him speak. And the King of France was so fascinated with this Sir Lenot's speech and said, "Lenot, I want you to come and join me for dinner tomorrow." Lenot smiled, you know, when the king said. The next day, to the surprise of the king, Lenot was there. And the king told him, "You know, Lenot, I invited you to the dinner. I'm surprised to see you just coming to our place for dinner. I invited you, but you did not respond. You know, I invited you, but you did not respond." You know what Lenot said? "A king's invitation, you know, and these were the words of Lenot. He said, "A king's invitation cannot be replied, but should be obeyed. You don't reply to a king by saying yes or no. You obey the king." So when you and I are in Christ, we obey. We obey. Let's pray. Have you ever realized there are moments in our life that we tend to tell people, "You know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. I'm a Christian." But you know something? That word, that answer has much more depth than the way many times we respond by saying, "I'm a Christian. I just go to church." But according to Paul, a Christian has a new identity.
Today we have used the word very lightly. I'm a Christian. But according to Paul and according to the scriptures, a Christian is a person who is resurrected with Christ. No more to his old life. His old life has died. And together with Christ, he has rose from the dead. He's raised with Christ. Dear friends, whenever the next time you answer that you are a Christian, always realize that you're somebody. That you're raised with Christ. It's no more the past you, but you are in Christ. When you say you are a Christian, always realize that you have a special role to play, a special responsibility. We belong to the King. We belong to the King. And so we seek Christ. We seek the things that glorify and brings honor to his name. When you say you're a Christian, you know something, you're hidden. You're doubly protected by Christ. When you're a Christian, your citizenship is in heaven. But many a times, many Christians today, they live as if the world is the only place they want to belong to. Paul says, I eagerly wait. You know something, you're heaven-bound people. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that we have a new identity in Christ. Lord, help us to know that we are resurrected with Christ, O God. Help us, O Lord, to live a life for Christ and for His alone. And help us, Lord, to know that at any moment of our life, we are protected by you. We are hidden in Christ. And so, Lord, whatever challenges or difficulties that we might face, Lord, let us know that we belong to you and nothing can hurt us or harm us, O God. But thank you, Lord, because there will be a world that we will live and we will live with Christ. There is no more pain. There is no more cries. There will be joy because Christ will be there. Help us, Lord, to live with that new identity. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.